Hey everybody, welcome to another Pop Culture Kiki episode of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McEady.
And we want to remind you that we are going on tour. There are still tickets for most cities. Chicago has sold out, but all of our other cities, there are seats to be filled, and we hope to see you there.
Don't come unless you like really fun shows that are very loud and drunk.
Don't come unless you want to have the best time of your life.
Right, and leave with a new gaggle of Yaya Sisterhood friends.
Did you watch the eclipse at all, or were you excited about the eclipse?
Yeah.
I'm glad because I love like community excitement and like standing on my roof meeting neighbors I never met and like just seeing people from all walks of life being like, let's stare at the sun for a second. I love it.
I thought it was absolutely incredible. I don't know how much I would have cared about it if I wasn't in the city, because it was just such a out everybody's outside, just everybody was just outside. It was really cool. And yeah, I love community events like that too. I'm not a curmudgeon when it comes to stuff like that. I was like outside. I went to my like coffee place next to my apartment, and they always have like a lot of outside seats. So I just went and sat with a coffee, and I listened to Beyoncé, and I stared at the sun. Like, it was great.
I love that. And like, if you can believe it, Troy, I bought my glasses like 3 weeks ago because I was so thrilled. But
Yeah.
like, it was fun to like give them to people who didn't have glass. It was just a good time all around. And anyone who wants to like hate on that, you don't enjoy fun.
No, it was a really good time. And I also, I know that this won't apply to you because you're not a horror girl, but there's a horror movie called House of the Devil, and it takes place on Eclipse Night. So they played it at the Alamo Draft House last night, and I went to go see it to like celebrate the eclipse. It was fun.
For a second, I thought you said whore girl, and I was kind of like, okay. Like,
You're not a little slut.
I need to talk about Morgan Wallen, of course.
You sure do.
So, if people aren't aware, country singer Morgan Wallen allegedly threw a chair off of Eric Church's new bar downtown. So, I just want everyone to know it's six stories up. It is one of the highest rooftops on Broadway. So, just want to throw that out there. And it's always funny because I think people are realizing they can't use, like, he's young and just found out how to be famous excuse because he's a 30-year-old father. So now the new thing is like, well, in the 80s, everyone was doing crazy shit like that. I'm like, well, it's not the 80s. And also, they were doing like cocaine as well and likely heroin. So if he is being an 80s rock star, he should go to rehab.
Right, or be chained to his bed like Tommy Lee.
It just drives me crazy because it's becoming one of those things where people are like, he made a drunk mistake. The thing is, like, I definitely had a drinking issue, never said the N-word because it's not in my vocabulary.
Right.
And like, the reason people say they love him is they're like, you know, he shows that it's anti-cancel culture. You know, they tried to cancel him and they couldn't. I'm like, just say you were a racist and he said the N-word and got away with it and you think that's cool.
I know. Sometimes, like, this is gonna sound insane, but sometimes I just like my racists racist. I don't want you pretending to not be and trying to give me these convoluted, like, this is the reason for this, this, and that. Like, I don't need a full thesis as to why this isn't that. Like, it just is. You just like the guy and you're racist and you want to be racist and, like, just be that. Just be that girl.
And I will say, you know, Troy and I say this, sometimes you can like the art and not the artist. So I am sure there are people who support Morgan Wallen just because they like his music, whatever. But like, for the most part, I don't think it's that.
And you're talking specifically about the people who are like jumping through hoops of fire to defend his behavior all the time. Like, I get that.
Right. And the thing is, like, this isn't the first time Morgan Wallen has been in trouble. In early 2018, 2019, or late 2018, early 2019, it came out that he was engaged to this woman named Katie who was pregnant with his child. And he was kind of like, no, none of that's true. Then people found their engagement photos and he had to own up to the fact that he was a dad, you know. In 2020, he was arrested on Broadway for being drunk and disorderly. In 2020, he was also spotted caught making out with a lot of college girls, and he had to cancel his SNL performance, but that didn't matter because he got a second chance to perform again. Like, It's not one isolated incident. And honestly, throwing a chair off of a roof on Broadway in Nashville, that could have killed someone. Like, this isn't funny. And he's smiling in his fucking mugshot because he knows he's going to get away with it. And people will make excuses for him so he doesn't need to even have an apology.
That is absolutely wild to throw a chair off of a like off of a balcony. You could kill multiple people.
And imagine if like Lil Nas X did that or any other artist, but because it's Morgan Wallen, he's a rock star.
I was thinking about that. Chris Brown woke up in a cold sweat when he found out.
And I think what makes me so mad is even if people want to say, you know, he got famous really quick, I'll give him that. Okay. He got famous really quick at like 26. But the way you're talking about him is like when Justin Bieber was peeing in buckets at 19, but you didn't give Justin Bieber that grace.
Yeah, lots of people become famous fast. Most people do now.
Right.
How that's kind of how fame works now. You become famous overnight. It's like kind of the vibe. So that's no excuse. Like what?
And again, I know I'm wasting breath because nothing's going to happen with Morgan Wallen. He's going to continue to rule country music, but like, it's just so frustrating to watch this happen over and over and seeing how people are like, oh, he's young. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like Morgan Wallen isn't gonna fuck you no matter how many times you say on social media you stand behind him.
No matter how short your jean shorts are when you go see him live, you probably won't fuck him. That is hilarious. I just very quickly wanted to mention that the Maxine trailer just got released, and easily probably like one of the most anticipated movies of the year for sure. I am so excited for this. If you know anything about me, you know that I obviously, I love horror. I love Mia Goth. I love A24. I love all those things. I also love 80s porn. Like, vintage porn is something that I'm like obsessed with. Like, the whole Boogie Nights, Lovelace of it all, like, the lore, the stories, the murders, all of the crazy shit. I love it. I used to collect 80s porn back in the day, but I had a storage unit that got it, that's a whole thing, but I'm just excited for this movie and I'm really excited for Mia Goth. And like, I'm so obsessed with her and I want the best for her. And I like, it's rare that a celebrity does the exact kind of like an actor will make the exact kind of movies you hope for them. And Mia Goth is that. Like, she makes the movies that I would dream in my head for her. She makes them and she produces them and helps write them. And she's just so fucking cool. So, if you haven't seen the Maxine trailer, definitely watch it. It looks like it's going to be incredible. And yeah, I don't have a lot more to say about it because it hasn't come out yet, but I'm just excited.
Well, I have a question. How excited are you that Halsey is front and center in the movie too, Troy?
No, I think that that's great. I hope that she's really good in it. I do.
You know I like Halsey. So honestly, like I do want to see it.
I hope that she's great. I would love to, I would rather like her as an actor than hate her as a musician.
That's like beautiful.
That's where I stand.
Really quick, I wanted to give a shout out to Missy Elliott. Sometimes our witch magic works in good ways, and she just announced a tour with Ciara and Busta Rhymes, and I cannot wait to take some Advil before a show and stand for 2 hours and dance.
I'll be one two stepping for as long as I need, literally. Like, oh my God, that is so exciting. That is another witchy moment for us, I'll be honest.
Totally. And of course, Sierra's involved. And I think we maybe said on the show, on our episode, which is on Patreon, that like they just need to come together and go on tour, or do something together.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Oh my God, I'm so excited for that. All the happiness in the world to Missy Elliott. Let's talk about JoJo
Okay.
Because, so last pop culture episode, I had said, like, I feel like I've never seen anything like this before. And, like, I think most of us haven't. It's really interesting because JoJo Siwa is not, she's not Miley, she's not Britney, she's not Demi, she was not a pop star. So, this whole transition thing that's happening is like unusual in the sense that she kind of had this weird, like the way that I look at JoJo Siwa is like if Miley Cyrus couldn't not be Hannah Montana 24 hours a day and to live on the Hannah Montana set and go outside and be Hannah, even though she's really Miley. Like there was no disconnect for JoJo. So, and I was also thinking how weird it is too for her that like she is a musician because she's had like 30 music videos and she has been technically making music since she was a little girl. But to us, because none of us take it seriously, that's not the case. But I don't know, what are your thoughts about how she's like being treated on the internet or just the interviews and just like the mania of it?
This is gonna sound mean, but she's becoming like one of those lesbians I wouldn't want to be friends with that like are so cocky and so like I'm the best. And the fact that she's like, I'm making a new kind of music. It's called gay pop. And it's like Fletcher and Haley have been around, Haley have been around for a long time. Like, this isn't some new thing you're doing. There are lesbians in music. And
Tegan
like
and Sarah's TikTok.
no, I didn't, but I can only imagine.
They made this TikTok of like they stitched her saying that like I want to be the world's first gay pop star, and then they showed, or it was like Tegan and Sarah just like staring into the camera like silently. It's like okay, girl, we've only been making pop music about women for 15 years, but go off.
And like, I don't get why she has to dress like gold star from the WWE to make her point. It's really confusing, and I was hoping JoJo Siwa would actually come out cool, be like, shed all my bows and all of that, and this is who I am. But like you said, she doesn't know anything but that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's some major identity issues there. I think the fact there are a couple things that like are red flags for me. For one thing, the fact that she couldn't even commit to saying the word fuck in the song just shows that this is not a genuine transition. It's just that she's at an age now where she like feels like she needs to like rebel or shed or whatever. And also like she's very repressed, you know. Only It was only a couple years ago that she stopped having to publicly act like a little girl. She was pretending to be 10 years old 2 years ago. So, like, the whole thing is just so, like, she's not a reliable narrator of her own shit. Like, it's just, she's not. And then the interviews, like, it makes it even worse that she's so cocky and she comes off as so, like, she's so, I don't know the word, like, she's so earnest about the whole thing. Like, she really thinks that she's doing something that is going to become pop culture history. Thinks that she's in the middle of a bangers era and that she's the only one who knows that in 10 years we'll look back and be so inspired by this. That's not going to happen, unfortunately. Like, and the song is bad.
I agree. Like, when I heard the chorus, I was like, maybe I could like listen to this on a night out, like when I was drinking, like being wasted. I'd be like, hell yeah, JoJo Siwa. But and then like the weird thrusting in her videos, it was all strange. And you know how we always talk about either mall people or like who they'd be in high school? Unfortunately for JoJo, there was always that one like quote unquote popular girl that all the other popular, that's who JoJo is. And it's sad because she's not in on it.
She's very not in on the joke. And it's just like, it makes it hard to watch. And listen, I'm fully aware that we are both not the demo. Like, she did not release this song for us. I totally understand that. But it's just like a really crazy thing to watch. It's really insane seeing her compare herself to these people, comparing herself to Lady Gaga and Michael Jackson and all these actual music artists. Like, also, not to mention the song, not on top of the fact that the song is bad, she then does this album release party where she just stands on stage and like every once in a while kind of like lip syncs her songs while people stand and watch her listening to them. And some her songs are like you can tell that they're other people's scrapped songs. They are songs that other artists didn't want. Like The Karma song was a Miley Cyrus song like 15 years ago that she turned down. And somebody on TikTok proved that Miley actually did work on the song and
Oh.
that like she tweeted about Karma or whatever. Like that was her song and somehow ended up in JoJo's hands. And then there was another song that she premiered at her little premiere party that was somebody else's song that she stole. And I don't remember who the artist was because I'm actually not familiar with her, but I did see the TikTok of her being like, or a quote of her being like, that's, she literally stole my song from me. Like the whole thing is just it's a real disaster, to be honest.
And I don't really know how she's been able to like dodge all those accusations that were against her and her mom. I was like, what about that Rolling Stone article? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, I know. I know. To find that she was like basically treating people the way she was treated as a kid in this industry, like, helping that abusive shit like keep going. It's just, it's a messy, 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 messy situation. And I do feel bad for her because she's really getting it right now. Like she's really being bullied right now pretty hard. Like it's really a lot, but my God, is she asking for it? God damn, I'm just like, girl, stop talking. Don't do any more interviews, JoJo. No more. No more.
Right, it's not helping your cause, but again, it's like I've heard her mom is a monster, like a monster momager. So I can't even imagine like the enabling behind the scenes being like, no, JoJo, they don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. And I there's also the point that like she's been working since she was a kid, so she's like a 50-year-old ball busting career woman
Yeah.
trapped inside this young lady's body. So even though she was pretending to be 9 years old up until last year, it's like she's very aware. She's extremely smart. Like she's extremely calculated. She knows more about business than most people her age or even older than her. Like, so I don't know. The whole thing is just fucking insane, and I'm mortified for her.
Do you think this is how 30-somethings felt about Miley Cyrus?
I guess so, but it's like where Miley was like cringe, there was still like an undeniable talent there.
True. Yeah, like Wrecking Ball kind of made everyone forget that she was doing her whole bangers thing.
And like you could kind of look at her, I think, as an older person and be like, all right, like she's young, she just turned 21, she's inspired by the girls, she has a real career. And and then when we actually gave Bangers a chance and listened to it, it was like, oh, there's like some really great songs on this, and her voice sounds really cool, and the live performances have actually, like there were like merits to it, whereas this is just like, this isn't for anyone. I don't even know who this song is for.
Because I don't even think it's for JoJo Siwa.
I don't either. I can't. But yeah, there's the JoJo segment.
I wanted to talk about Summer House super fast because I've been listening to like different podcasts talking about Summer House because I genuinely think Carl is like dark-sided. And I think Lindsay Hubbard has showed us who she is since day one. So I'm not surprised at how she's behaving. But I would love your take on this because it does seem like most queer people see Carl as that angry, dark-sided person. Whereas, like, I've noticed with a lot of straight listeners, it's like Lindsay is running Carl ragged. And I would just love to know your opinion on that.
See, I think that both is right. I don't think that there's like a winner. Like I don't, and it feels like people want they want there to be like a right and a wrong person. And I think that they're just not compatible in a relationship.
And I don't think either wants to break up first.
No. The pressure of, having to be the one that did it and like, and now they have all this like pomp and circumstance because they're on TV and there's the Sandoval of it all, and They don't want to be the, like you said, the first person to do it, but like I kind of am not on anybody's side. Like I just think that this is like a toxic, perfect recipe for disaster.
Well, I don't like Carl. But
Yeah.
I do think you're right. I think they're both just like messes of people. But I think Carl, honestly, all I could think of was you talking about like what Miranda says on Sex in the City. Carl saw all of his friends getting married, thought that would like help him find happiness, when in reality, he needs to find happiness in himself.
Yeah, he's like, I think that he feels like he'll find some identity through it. Like, I'll figure out who I am. And it's like, no. And like, you're now she's bullying you because you are so lost and like, you don't know who you are. And that's frustrating. Like, I can't say I'm a fiery fucking Aries. And I cannot say that if I was in that relationship that I would not be like, bullying him for the same thing. Like, who the fuck are you? What do you like? What do you do? What are your interests? What are your hobbies? There's nothing more repulsive to me than when you ask somebody what their interests are and they don't know how to answer. It's like, ew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. And she also spent 20K on a career coach for Carl.
God, yeah.
I wouldn't want to see myself after that if I
Oh my
spent that much
God.
money. But Sierra, she actually made me think of you because she said she was a big Clay Aiken fan. And I remember like 3 weeks ago, you were like, Claymates, please speak.
I laughed so hard. I was like, not Sierra being a claymate. Not her a part of the claymation, the like claymation union. Best. And also, I feel like my prayers have been answered because Sierra has been so open and vulnerable, and this is my favorite Sierra season.
I agree. I've actually been rewatching the COVID season because that was like, that's when I got into the show. And Troy
Sorry.
just fell.
I'm sorry. You may want to say that again.
Might leave that in. That was funny. But Sierra was like so open during the COVID season, and then she got shut down by Austin and decided to like not talk. But it makes sense when she was like, yeah, people were coming up to me saying I was an idiot. Guys, if you see Sierra Miller on the street, you don't need to tell her she was an idiot for hooking up with Austin Kroll.
Yeah, I know. I felt really bad when she said that because she, and especially when she was like, you know, if you make a mistake on TV, it just like lives forever. And like, that was like a hookup that shouldn't have happened. And now it's like what she's become known for. But yeah, she's just been like so great this season. Like, she just feels so comfortable as a reality star now. Like, she's really settled in. And this is just, this cast is incredible. It's really good.
Honestly, West, Jesse, and Sierra, they are the future of this show.
Yeah. And now I'm like full Jesse head.
I
I'm a
told
full
you.
Jesse head. I love
He's such
it.
like a messy bro, but I also think he'd be so cool. Like if you met him out or I met him out, he'd just be like, want to do a shot? Like,
Yeah.
you know?
He's very honest about his like emotions and stuff too. Like, he's real straightforward. Like, the way that he even handled the whole car or like Carl like trying to like embarrass him. Or who was it? Was it Kyle?
Kyle, yeah.
And Kyle tried to like embarrass him and call him out. Like, the way he handled that was like reality TV pro. Like, he was like, yeah, I did. And you know, and he like, and then Craig came and he was like, handled it super chill and was like, I mean, he's just like, he's a great reality star.
Craig and Paige have really grown on me.
I told you.
I should listen to you more often, Troy.
I told you. While we're on the topic of Summer House, obviously perfect transition for Vanderpump Rules, which in my opinion is still quite unbearable, but this past episode was like pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm really trying with this show. I'm really trying, but I don't care anymore. And I feel bad saying that because I know so many people are still excited, but it's like I can't deal with like everyone on the show trying to turn on Ariana when the way to fix this show would just to be like Lala being like, "Hey, we're filming a show and I have to film with him." And also, Ariana screaming at Tom was well deserved.
I just think that the them not breaking the fourth wall was the biggest mistake this show's probably ever made. This would have been the perfect season to do it. It would have revived the show for at least a few more years. Like, and we need that right now because, like you said, it's just the narrative just is not right. And we all know. And them not being able to just say that, like, we have to film together. Like, if you're going to talk about it every fucking episode for the entire time, can somebody just mention that you guys are on a show? Can one person just be the one that says, we're also on a show together and we're the main cast members on a show? So that might have something to do with the fact that we have to be around each other. Like, come on.
And I want to talk about the dog situation that everyone is so split about because Tom Sandoval went into Ariana's room with the dog and the AC guy, whatever. Should Ariana have trash in her bedroom? No, that's kind of gross. Like, she should definitely throw away her leftovers, but the door was shut. And like, Tom and or Anne didn't check to see if Maya followed them out. Instead, they just shut the door. The dog was in there for hours. First of all, shouldn't Tom be like, where's the dog? I haven't seen her for hours. And I guess the way I think of it, like, Blair is allergic to cats. So when we move in together, she'll likely have a closet with the door shut, you know? And if she wants to keep chocolate in there, kind of whatever, that's like her space. If I go in there, say Gail follows me in, I lock her in there, she eats chocolate and gets sick, it's still on me. It's not on Blair.
Yeah, I agree. The people trying to rationalize ways to make this Ariana's fault is like so she shouldn't have had skewers in her room. There are a lot of things you shouldn't have in your bedroom next to your bed that your dog could die from. I mean, it to say that it's her fault because she had leftovers in her room. What? I mean, what are you talking about? Like, what the fuck? Just say you don't like her. You can just say that. Because that doesn't make any fucking sense. It's really, this is exhausting. The way everybody's handling it is exhausting. Lala is aging me rapidly. I get up and I'm like, am I 80 years old now? Did an hour pass or did 45 years pass? Because like, what the fuck? Sheena's killing me. I mean, it's really insane. And I'm also, I guess just to have like an interesting conversation about it, like I do also understand, because I'm very much this person, like when my friends are in relationships or decide to like date a friend in the friend group or something, I'm always the one that says, like, I'm not picking a side, just so you know. I stand firm. I'm not that girl. I'm not gonna fight with you. I'm not gonna be like Brittany Cartwright's right-hand man who's while she's throwing teapots and shit and screaming, stupid motherfucker. I'm not gonna be standing next to you doing that. While then the next day you're back together. And it's fine. And you're an asshole for commenting. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. So I understand not wanting to, like, I think that if Sheena wants to be friends with Tom and if Lala wants to be friends with Tom, they have every right to. They're adults. Sheena's known him for half of her life. They're allowed to. As much as people may not want that to be the case or don't like him, they're allowed to be friends with him. And I would be damned if somebody told me who I can't be friends with. Like, that shit really pisses me off. So I get that. But at the same time, she also has the right to not want to be around him. Oh my God. Her and Katie don't have to want to be around their fucking exes. That's insane.
Exactly. I will say I am a take sides person. I will take a side and I will comment on a relationship. Like, that's just who I am and I know it. But I do think Sheena should be allowed to be friends with Tom if she really wants. And I think Ariana does have to give that grace if they've been co-workers for 11 years, however long at this point. And I think it would be better for Ariana to be like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. Do what you need to do, but like, don't talk about me. Don't talk about him to me. Like, it just
Yeah.
needs to be like a clear-cut line.
Clear cut line. And they should respect that. And I would totally understand that. And I would respect it. But this whole like you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. I want him to leave. I'm ready for this. I'm annoyed, so this person needs to go. I wouldn't tolerate that personally. I just know myself.
Unfortunately, I think I'd be Ariana, so.
Well, the thing that makes it even more frustrating, though, is that like Lala and Sheena are not just being honest about it. Like an adult person would just say, listen, I'm gonna be friends with him. I don't know what that means for me and you. We can figure it out. I love you. I adore you. But I'm probably gonna end up being friends with him. We're working on it. I don't need you to agree. But it's the fact that Sheena feels like she needs to do like a seven-part theatrical production involving tears and crying and and all this shit just to get Ariana to say that it's okay. Like, oh my fucking God, Sheena. Oh my God.
I don't know. It's so interesting because when I mentioned, I think it was last week or the week before, that people are turning on Ariana, so many people hadn't seen that. It just depends on your algorithm because people are still so mad at Ariana and
Yeah.
they're like, don't you have enough? It's like, it's not her fault she's being offered these things.
And in the time frame of the show, it's only been a few months.
Exactly. And I think people forget that.
Like it just happened in there in the universe of the show right now. Like it was months ago. So if anything, she's actually being pretty chill, I think, given the circumstance.
I'm curious how long Allie and James are gonna last because of Hippie, this fucking dog that, like, I don't even think is the true Graham. Like, because of this dog, her cat can't sleep with her. And if there was anything that was like keeping me from cuddling my pet at night, I'd have to like end the relationship.
I think that as soon as the dog showed up and like lunged at the cat, I would have been like, well, did try, didn't we? I hate to have to home him again, but yeah.
And producers are driving me insane because of James and Allie mentioning once that they live by the airport. And now, when there was like that awkward silence at the table, it's just a plane flying overhead. I'm like, Vanderpump, you don't have to do that. Like, you, a silence is a silence for a reason.
The editing is so fucking annoying to me now. Oh, can I also just make another point about? I want to know your thoughts on Joe.
Joe reminds me of the Honeycombs mascot.
Oh my God.
This is the thing about Joe. Do I think Joe is socially awkward? For sure. But like Ariana said, she also helped Raquel and Tom cheat for however many months. And, you know, with her personality, I think it's easy for her to be like, I'm just weird and nobody gets me and nobody wants to talk to me because they think I'm crazy. She can lean into that more because she kind of is strange, I guess.
Yeah.
I think Sheena was too much with her being like, take your hat off. Let me see your hair. What are you doing? But I think Joe and Tom are probably soulmates, but he's embarrassed of Joe because he cares too much of what other people think.
Yeah. Oh God, he's so. Everybody on the show now is like, I hate. I thought that they were being bullies. I'll be honest.
The
Like,
girls.
yeah, not only to her, but even to that girl that Tom brought to like whatever. It's like Ariana going up to her and being like, so how old are you? That makes sense. It's like, and then like, sir, I mean, I literally, there was a moment where she looked around and realized that she was circled by them.
It's not cute to be like a 39-year-old mean girl.
No, it's really, really lame. Especially like from when you're Sheena Shea, literally been bullied your whole life because people find you irritating, and you're bullied in your own friend group because your friends only like you half the fucking year. To then try and regain power by bullying another girl is such a fucking Sheena Gretchen Wieners thing to do. It's just so like that thing was so girl. Like, we don't yell at you for still wearing platform wedged rhinestone sneaker fucking show. Let her wear her hat.
I actually think like Katie and Ariana have a reason to be like mad at Joe.
Yeah.
But like, other than that, it's kind of.
Yeah. It's very just like, oh, you guys are so fucking lame now. Like, I just killed, ki cut the switch, pull the plug on Vanderpump Rules. We're done.
This just in, body odor is officially canceled for good this time. This episode is sponsored by Lumi. Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deodorant has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love smelling great and feeling confident from head to toe. New customers get 15% off all Lumi deodorant products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BLINDS at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. For me, when it comes to Lumi, I like it because it is full body and I get a little sweaty and I don't want to be the stinky person on the train. My back gets sweaty, so having deodorant for my back is incredible. I'm glad we're close enough where I can tell you guys this, by the way. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Pits, boobs, underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. Created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. How? Unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's more like a pre-odorant. It's baking soda free and paraben free. pH balance for safe use below the belt, and you can choose from a variety of bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals to over 40% off their starter pack. So use code BLINDS for 15% off your purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BLINDS at LumiDeodorant.com.
This week's episode is also sponsored by Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. So you guys know that I love a bag. I'm always purchasing bags, and my most recent purchase from Quince is the all-day neoprene duffel bag. So not only is it water resistant, it is made from 100% premium recycled neoprene. So they tell you on the website that it's made with 21 recycled plastic bottles. Now I can't wrap my head around how 21 plastic bottles became my new favorite bag, but it's great. Like I said, it's water resistant, it's padded inside. When you travel with it, you don't have to worry about your laptop or like your electronics like beating back and forth. It's chic, it's cute, it's forest green. Like you can't lose. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/blinds for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/blinds to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/blinds.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes the competition.
Host Shima Oliyei was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So I don't talk about it much, but I love Little Mix, and I'm so excited for Perry Edwards. She's releasing her first solo single next week. I'm thrilled. I think she's coming to take back pop music, and I think it's funny her and Zayn are releasing singles on the same day.
Oh, they are?
I'm like, however many years ago when they were together, I'm obsessed with this because I always felt like he did her so dirty. And just next week, stream Perry. For me, if not for anyone else.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Zayn, we never talked about when those messages got leaked of his where he was like that girl that he hooked up with. It was like very, very troubling.
Yeah, let's talk about that right now. Why not?
Did you read them?
I didn't read all of them, but it just seemed like he was so aggressive, to say the least.
Yeah, he was really, I mean, you could tell that he is, like, he has a really unnatural relationship with sex and, and like, just.
And wanting threesomes, like, a lot of threesomes.
It was an interesting look into, like, the psyche of somebody in his situation, because we always speculate, you know, like, about, like, former child stars and boy band members and whatever, just, like, how deviant they are, and, like, it was crazy to see firsthand, like, and be like, well, I need threesomes. I need threesomes now. I need them tonight. Find a girl for a threesome. Bring her over to my house immediately for the threesome. It was like, whoa.
And it's like, you realize you live in rural Pennsylvania.
Right. Like, he's so used to, like, snapping his fingers and having, like, you know, insta thoughts, like, right at his fingertips. It's like, girl, you're getting women from Walmart to come have threesomes. It's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Did you watch his Hot Ones?
No, I didn't.
So I was excited because I was like, oh, this is usually the show where, like, people kind of let their guard down and they can be silly. He was so boring.
Really?
He, like, barely cracked a smile and then was, like, complaining how hot the wings were. I was like, what did you think this show was?
He's like, they seem to be progressively getting worse.
Yeah, he's like, this is terrible. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Gwyneth would never.
Did you end up watching that? So funny.
So funny. So, you know, I'm always charmed by Miss Goop. I'm always charmed by Miss, like, golden KitchenAid mixer.
You're always gagged by Miss Goop.
I guess I just wanted to very quickly to, like, bring it down for a second and make it really sad out of nowhere. Lori Peterson's from the Real Housewives of Orange County, her son passed away this past week, and it's really sad because if you watched the Real Housewives of Orange County from the beginning, you know her son Josh had, like, just, he's always struggled. He's been homeless, he had a lot of drug issues, he was, like, arrested, and I mean, there was just, like, always something going on, and he passed away, and it's just really sad. Like, Lori, her relationship with her kids was always very interesting, but just, like, she always had very fascinating children. And Lori comes from the era of the Real Housewives where you really actually had to share your real life, and it wasn't really even about the women hanging out, it was about their families. So you really connected to their kids in a different way back in the day than you do now. And it just made me really sad because I randomly think of him sometimes and I think, like, how he's doing or, like, if he's sober, if they're getting along. I know that for a while he was, like, out on the street and she didn't know where he was. And it was just, all that to say, rest in peace to her son. And I'm just sad for her. I guess I should transition that into the Real Housewives of Potomac since we're talking about Bravo. They just aired their reunion part 2, and a lot of conversation on the internet, a lot of debate, a lot of back and forth. People are, like, very split on this. I've never seen more people be Team Giselle, which is, like, crazy to me. And I ride really hard for Candace. Like, I know that people have their issues with Candace, but I think Candace has really elevated the conversation of this show, and she's surrounded by fucking idiots. Giselle is an idiot. Robin is a fucking dumbass who I cannot stand. And it makes me really, really upset that every single time Candace or Wendy bring up colorism on this show, not only Giselle and Robin, but everybody else, including Andy, will also make what she's saying. They make it like instead of Giselle and Robin ever having to address the colorism, it's you're a bitch for saying that. Why would you say that about us? We got death threats because you said that. People are attacking us because you said that. You put that out. How about the way you made her fucking feel? Maybe that's the thing that you should talk about. The reason that she's been saying it for 6 years. And like the reason that other people who watch this show also completely understand what she's talking about when she says that you two fucking chicken heads are problematic and have internalized racism. The entire first season of this show is about them policing people's blackness and who's really black and who's not black and do you call yourself black? And it's like they're both fucking insane. And I just feel it makes me sick to my stomach sometimes watching how they handle this and how the network handles it, how Andy handles it. It's just these women are not equipped to have conversations at Candace's level. She's too fucking smart for them. So I will die on that hill.
So I did watch it, and I mean, I don't really know much about this season, but I heard it was filmed at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
and all of them look so tired. And I've never seen Andy come off as like so unprofessional. Like he was just kind of chatting with the women, and I thought that was like disrespectful. Like he didn't treat them like stars of the show in the way he treats like a Vanderpump reunion, I guess. And I don't know if maybe it's because it was 3 a.m. or if it just how he treats the women of Potomac.
I mean, it's really insane given how serious the stuff is that they were talking about. Like, and they've been having this race conversation for I don't know how long the show's been on now, 6 or 7 years, whatever. They've been having this race conversation since the first season of the show, and they never address it appropriately. It's always, why are you saying that about us? It makes us look bad. She's saying it because you make her feel a certain fucking way. And she's right. Like, Candace, the famous line from this season, the line is always moving. It is. And I think that Andy just has a hard on for Giselle. I think he is obsessed with her. And I get it. She's beautiful. She's an amazing reality star, one of the best villains I've ever seen on reality TV. But with that being said, her and Robin, her and Eeyore are a problem. And I'm so excited to see how she fares next year when Robin isn't there to be her fucking little henchman, like when she's on her own and she has to deal with all this stuff by herself. I can't wait. But yeah, that show is just really frustrating. The sooner it ends, the sooner Robin is no longer a housewife, the happier I will be.
Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher had the most bizarre fucking divorce announcement I've ever seen in my life. If anyone listening hasn't seen it, please just go check out like their Instagram or something. But it's basically them in white tennis outfits saying, after a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we're finally putting our rackets down. In 2023, we jointly filed to end our ma marriage.
I kind of like it.
I know I thought it was like so psychotic, but then it's better than like a notes app, you know?
I'm just so, I'm s after like 30 years of we love each other dearly, we have four beautiful children together, and we're asking for privacy during this time. Like, that is so dead to me. I feel like if I was announcing my divorce, I would kind of want to do something like ridiculous just to, just to shake it up a bit. 'Cause divorce announcements are so boring usually.
I want them to be like, we really fucking hate each other now. There's been a lot of
Yeah.
cheating.
Yeah. Yeah. Between the cheating, the money laundering, but and the escorts, I just couldn't take it any longer. We asked for privacy during this time. That I would love. I just really quickly wanted to give a shout out to, I watched this really interesting video the other day on YouTube, the Nikki and Coco podcast, where Nikki, I love their videos, and Nikki does a lot of like deep divey pop culture-y stuff. If you want to look up Nikki on like whatever, his name is Nikki.Reardon. But I just like love, I love his deep dives. I think that they're so good. They're so like, they're just, it's our kind of people, same kind of vibe. And basically, Nikki did a deep dive about Kylie and how Kylie's business seems to be failing. And like, she seems to be scrambling to figure out what to do next. And I just thought it was really interesting. And they brought up a point in their episode that like, the Kardashians are, I forget the term that he used, but basically that the Kardashians will try stuff and like just kind of throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. And then once they have something that sticks, they just like ride it for a while, even if they're not passionate about it. And like we've seen Kim like throw so many things at the wall, like fragrance and Skechers and all these different things. And then Skims like took, obviously. So she just has been riding that forever. And so he basically says in the video that you know, like they throw these products at the wall and see what sticks or whatever. And with Kylie, like she has been doing these weird businesses recently. And we all know that Kylie Cosmetics is not making the same amount of money that it used to. It's really like a dying makeup company because it's so far gone at this point from where it started. And you know, she did the fragrance, nobody bought it. It smells like it came from fucking Five Below. It is the cheapest, most little girl play perfume bullshit. The bottle is ugly. It's like so uninspired, and she doesn't seem to care about it. And then she did that like leather line of clothes recently, a few months ago, that everybody just like dragged. Nobody liked. It didn't really do very well. She also just came out with like a drink. Like, I don't know if you saw, she has like a new.
Oh, energy drink or something?
Yeah, it's like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like it looks like she is like in a space of just trying to figure out what to do next. And it's just really interesting. But yeah, I really highly suggest watching the video. It was great. Nikki and Coco podcast.
So I obviously wanted to talk about the fifth episode of Quiet on Set. Before I get into my thoughts, I'd love to know like how you felt about this latest installment.
Well, I'm glad that we decided to do it on a pop culture kiki and not try and make a whole episode out of it because it wasn't like a real new episode. It was basically a reunion that they framed as a new episode. I thought it was fine. Like, I thought it was cool to tie up the stories and to be able to hear how talking about it has affected them and you know, like the aftermath. Like I thought it was cool to hear about the aftermath, but at the same time, like it didn't feel totally necessary. Like we would have been fine without it. What'd you think?
No, I agree with you. And honestly, like, they need to talk about what Drake Bell actually did. And, you know, obviously, we've talked about the cycle of abuse. I don't need to get into that. But now he's tweeting how, like, the media got it all wrong. It was all lies. And I'm like, but you still did this terrible thing to this young girl. And we can't just brush it under the rug. I know it took so much courage for him to speak about his experience with Brian Peck. But we can't forget what happened. And I was kind of thinking maybe this episode they talk about that. But I don't know. You know, I don't know how much. Obviously, this is a really big documentary, and I know that. And I give credit to Drake for speaking out. But you can't just brush over everything. And even when he was 16, he beat his girlfriend. Like, and these things just aren't being taught. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Of course, absolutely. I thought it was going to be about that. I watched it. I was going to watch it anyway, obviously, but I was excited to watch it because I thought it was going to be him finally explaining his situation, especially because like it was obviously filmed so recently. So like there would have been an opportunity to do that. It's not like this was filmed 7 months ago or something. It was just filmed. So I just thought it was a real missed opportunity for him to not talk about, because everybody's talking about it. They're talking about it as much as they're talking about Quiet on Set. So it's like a real decision. Like it's a real choice to not include that, I feel.
This is a quote from Brian that I really liked. Him and Giovanni Samuels were together, and he kind of laughed about Dan's interview. And he said, "I thought it was funny. If I can be candid, Dan was an actor before all of this. So I think he brushed off some chops and gave us a nice performance. Where was the apology when Jeanette McCurdy's book came out? What's an apology without accountability?"
Yeah.
And that sums up everything about Dan Schneider that you need to know.
Yeah, that was a great quote, especially the emphasis on him being a former actor, because that man was acting in that video. What's that kid, that guy's name that said that? What was his name?
Brian Hearn.
Yeah, I loved his set. I could have watched a whole hour of just him and his mom.
Me too. And Giovanni Samuels, like, she's still so
Oh.
captivating.
She's so, oh, I was like, get this girl on something. She's so just, oh, like magnetic.
And I think it's so gross that Dan like reached out to her for a quote of support, even though he knew she was in the documentary. And Brian made up a good brought up another good point when Dan was asked in his interview about people of color and how he treated them. He talked about Kenan and Kel, and again he brushed over Giovanni and Brian, who were in the actual documentary.
And the fact that he reached out to her is so transparent. He's like, what black person do I know? Oh, her. She'll be nice. You know, she'll at least she's so nice. Maybe she'll say something. Like it was so manipulative and heavy-handed almost. But yeah, I just like am obsessed with her. Like, I mean, I don't know. I really, really, really want to see her in things.
Other than Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Other than like a really sad documentary, I would love to see her like get to be funny again.
Yeah, and I thought adding Shane Lyons was interesting. Even Brian talking to him about like blue balls, very strange. He said Dan sounds like the farmer that blames the tractor for a bad harvest.
Yeah. I was like, okay, metaphor. Yes. I think I have a crush on him as well, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there.
Shane, if you're listening.
He's so cute. I just really quickly wanted to mention as well that Rihanna is on the new issue of Interview Magazine that actually came out like today. And the photos are absolutely incredible. They are so fucking good. It is shot by Nadia Leigh Cohen. You guys know how I feel about her. I just think that she makes celebrities look so interesting in her photos. Like, I've never seen Rihanna look like that ever. And she's taken a lot of weird pictures. Like, Rihanna has taken on many characters and photos, but I've never seen her look like that. And they're so good. Yeah, that was all. Support Interview Magazine and go buy
I do love that her son's first word was just, "Hey."
it. It's so Rihanna. But we have to end this episode with, oh, I also just very quickly wanted to mention too that Alan Ritchson, the model slash actor, came out and said that he was abused by a photographer. And I don't believe at this point he has said who the photographer was, but a lot of people on the internet have been speculating that it's Bruce Weber. And you know, that's like real tough because Bruce Weber is like one of the most iconic photographers of all time. Like I have so many Bruce Weber magazines in my collection, but he's a creep. Pictures are creepy. It's undeniable that he's a creep. He used to love shooting young twinkie men in like really weird ways. I mean, if you look at his photos of Leo alone, it's like this is clearly a man that's like lusting after this like young boy. Like it's pretty clear. But we don't know if it's Bruce Weber. I just, like I said, a lot of people are just speculating that. And yeah, shout out to Alan for coming forward.
That's actually really cool because that Reacher show that he's in, everybody loves it right now. And I feel like a lot of eyes are on him. So, yeah, that's cool that he felt that like now was a good time to share his story.
Yeah, for sure.
And I guess we'll end with Aoki Simmons and Vitero? Vitorio?
Mitiro Asif.
I mean, if you want to see alleged yachting in real time, just look at these pictures.
It is giving, it's like the most like absurdly obvious yachting that has been slid our way since starting this show. Like, it's actually insane, these photos.
I don't know what else to say other than that.
It is so like, oh God, and seeing her kiss him, and like she got dragged so hard on the internet. And it's always so fascinating when you see stuff like this happen, because it's like most people don't know how to interpret this the right way. So, because they don't know what yachting is. So they're just seeing this young, beautiful girl on a beach with this old man, and they're like, yes, girl, collect the bag, blah, blah, blah. Or like, ew, he's too old for her. Why is she with him? And it's like, you guys have no fucking idea.
No, and I can't imagine with parents like Kimora Lee and Russell, it's going to be easy for these girls to like navigate not only adulthood, but adulthood in the spotlight.
Yeah, and it was confirmed yesterday that they ended their relationship.
Oh.
I'll just read this article real quick. It says, Aoki Lee Simmons, 21, took the internet by storm this week. This is from Ola.com, by the way. Took the internet by storm this week when a photo went viral of the model with a 65-year-old restaurateur, Vitaro Asaf, with an age gap. It, with any age gap, it sparked discussion, with many debating the situation online. Aoki got roasted on social media, and her parents even got roasted as well, blah, blah, blah. It says Aoki and Asaf certainly looked happy to be on their romantic trip to St. Barts, and the model called him her boyfriend on Instagram live. She even showed off the purse that he gave her, but it all reportedly came to an end. A source close to the 21-year-old told Page Six on Monday, it's 100% done. They're absolutely not dating anymore. The news comes after Aoki gave a house tour on the vacation home, saying she was, quote, the happiest person to ever happy right now. Her friends also shut down any idea that she was dating him for expensive gifts. She doesn't care about jewelry. She doesn't have Hermes. It's not even her. She doesn't even care about expensive things. She's more of a geek. It was a fun little geeky trip.
What a nerd.
Yo, Aoki, you're a nerd. A little Britney deep cut for you. SF might not be too sad about the brief fling ending, though. The 65-year-old man seems to be a bit of a player. A source told the outlet, I wouldn't be surprised if he's out with another young girl tonight. He's always loved young, beautiful women. He's gotten older, but the taste hasn't changed.
I'm sure you will see him with
Yeah.
another young woman. He's a player. He's 65. Like he's just an old horny man. He's not a player.
And he's rich. Hello. Hello. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, and then it says while the fling was fast, it may take a minute for her mom, Komora, to recover. Following the news, the 48-year-old star reposted a deleted video of a mother panda pulling away at her cub with her teeth. And then the caption she wrote, on my last nerve right now.
That's actually really funny.
I know. I love Kimora.
What a Facebook mom thing to do.
It's just so insane. And like, I do wonder, like, with those girls, like, how much of it, like, where the line is with, of like, her being like a Yolanda versus not. And I'm like, she's such a yachter girl. Like, she's such a I marry oil tycoons and billionaires and princes and shit. I'm like, the apple clearly doesn't fall far from the tree. And how embarrassed were you really? Were you just embarrassed that there were pictures?
Well, with that, I think it's time to wrap up the Kiki.
It is. We've been here for over an hour and we're unhinged. I think it's time to land the plane.
Thank you guys so much for listening, for subscribing, rating, all that fun stuff. We hope to see you at some live shows.
Yeah, come see us live. Come hang out with us. Come clink a glass. Ask us a wild question. Do all the things. It's gonna be fun.
Oh, and also, Troy dropped his first Britney episode with Zach on his Patreon. So you should listen to his Patreon too.
Yes, please do. It's a real fun episode.
And we'll talk to you later.
Bye.